Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Welcome to the New Books Network.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the DistroBizW channel in New Books Networks. Today, I'm very happy to introduce Dr. Yoshiko Okuyama to join us to introduce her newest book, Tojisha Manga. So the first thing I want to do is let Dr. Okuyama to introduce herself to us.
Okay, hello. Thank you, Shu, for having me again for the Disability Study Channel on New Books Network. I'm so delighted to be here today, especially because opportunities for me to share my research on disability study is quite limited at where I teach. So I'm very grateful for this. Once again, my name is Yoshiko Okuyama. I sometimes go by Yo-Yo. And I was born and raised in Japan, and I live in Hawaii now. I'm a professor of Japanese studies at the University of Hawaii at Hilo. I'm also an affiliated scholar at Ritsumeikan University's Graduate School, Institute of Abibandi in Kyoto, Japan. And this institute specializes in disability studies and other related fields such as bioethics. And currently, I'm a visiting scholar at Cornell University until December 2023. And I'm the author of three books, Japanese Mythology in Film, Reframing Disability in Manga, and most recently, Tojisha Manga, Japan's Graphic Memoirs of Brain and Mental Health, which I will talk about today. And I would like to dedicate this talk to the memory of Dr. Mark Bookman. Mark was a rising star of disability studies in Japan and also a friend of mine who passed away unexpectedly last December. And a documentary, Mark, A Call to Action by director Ron Small, will premiere this fall, I heard. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much. So my next, regarding my next question, I want to invite you to to introduce the reason why you take interest in both mental health and comic book studies.
Thank you so much for asking me this question. Professionally, I'm trained as an applied linguist. After reading some great books about sign language communities, such as Margaret Fox, Talking Hands, and Dr. Karen Nakamura's Deaf in Japan, I became very interested in and conducted research about deaf students' cell phone texting. And that was the beginning of my journey as a scholar of disability studies. So why am I researching on mental health right now, right? Well, while I was finishing the manuscript of my previous book, I was selected to attend the National Endowment for Humanities Summer Institute on Disability Studies. And there I met Dr. Michael Rembis, He was one of the lecturers of that institute. During Mike's presentation on mental disability, I thought to myself, wait a second, I know this topic in a most personal way. Then I asked myself, why don't I look back on my family history? So that's how it started. And throughout my life, I've seen how OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, has impacted on my mother's health. And that reflection motivated me to look at the topic of mental health as a scholar. And that was a moment of epiphany for this book, for which I fortunately received research grants, including the funding from the Association for Asian Studies. So now, why have I taken an academic interest in comic books, especially Japanese comics, or what we call manga? Growing up in Japan, I read a lot of manga, and actually I dreamed about becoming a manga artist myself. Well, that career choice didn't work out for me. But fast forward in the 2000s, when I realized manga's popularity among my students at this university, in this country, and all over the world, I decided to offer a course on manga. And it was fall 2009, I think. The course was originally titled Gender and Minorities in Japanese Comics. But after I attended the NEH Disability Study Institute I just mentioned, I changed the title to Gender and Disability in Manga. So this is a happy marriage of my two academic interests, disability studies and comic studies. And I still read manga, although I don't have a lot of time for it anymore. But whenever I have to work on my research, but I don't feel like it, I read a new manga as a sort of excuse for myself. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much for your answer again. So now let's turn to your book. So for the first question, I want to invite you to introduce the keyword Tojisha as the background of research subject Tojisha manga. I mean Tojisha.
That's a great question, because the social cultural context of the word Tojisha is very important to understand what I mean by Tojisha manga. So thank you so much for asking this question. Originally, the term Tojisha referred to a party or insider involved in a legal case. But then it began to be used to refer to individuals with direct experience of discrimination or oppression. And now the term Tojisha marks the membership of a minority population whose voice has been suppressed in mainstream discourse. So how did that semantic transition happen, right? In the 1970s, Japan had a Tojisha Undo, minority rights movement, and it was during this time in which the idea of sovereignty for people with disabilities was promoted. And it started with the independent living movement propagated by disability rights activists, especially the members of the Association of Green Grass, or Aoi Shiba no Kai in Japanese. And during that period, the term Tojisha became a self-referent to rebuff the official label of shogaisha, or a disabled person in Japanese, which was branded by medical professionals and the government. To be clear, though, the word Tojisha is an old inclusive term. So it's not used only by people with disability, but other types of minorities and marginalized people also use that term as an identity marker. So essentially, it means I'm an insider and I'm someone deeply and directly involved in it. So therefore, you can call yourself or someone else an LGBTQ 当事者 or mental health 当事者. So it just means that you are the person with direct experience of the issue at hand. And here is an important point. Well, this book is about graphic memoirs of mental disability, right? So I intentionally avoided using the official label 精神障害者, a Japanese with, a people with mental disability in Japanese, because of its negative connotation. Well, to me, it is more appropriate to use 当事者 for people with direct experience, including these authors of the graphic memoirs, in a respectful way to address them. And another important point is that this term also affords more agency to those involved belonging to a coalition. So it emphasizes that they are the ones who can and should decide what to do for themselves. And we must remember that it was at that time of minority rights movement when the importance of 当事者's voices was acknowledged for the first time in history. So in these regards, 当事者 is similar to English expression mental health consumers and psychiatric system survivors. And I believe that adopting this term helps destigmatize disability and empowers those with lived experience of mental and neurological conditions. So with this social historical background, I call this particular group of comics 当事者 manga. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your answer again. So for the next question, I want to invite you to talk about those topics associated with the first person narrative, ranging from the nature and aim of the autobiography to the recent emergence of life writing on disability and illness.
Yeah, in this chapter, I try to nail down the benefits and strengths of first-person narratives. So for example, first-person narratives on mental health experiences are more effective in conveying the message that we are not a threat to society. Rather, we are an ordinary part of human society. And research indicates that self-narratives help reduce stigma. And studies after studies tell us that mental health memoirs can be an effective resource for medical education, for early intervention, for support for employment and self-transformation, for relapse prevention, and as I said before, as a tool of stigma reduction. So this chapter provides an important theoretical background for distinguishing this particular genre of first-person comics from other types of manga. And by using this term, 当事者 manga, I wanted to achieve these three things. Number one, I wanted to emphasize that graphic memoirs tell the reader what is it like to live through the stigma attached to the label of being insane or having personality flaws. And these first-person memoirs will tell the reader what is it like to have a painful and isolating experience of a mental disability. And then second, I argue that these manga are not just stories about the 当事者's journey to recovery, but they are the narratives through which we learn how these manga artists themselves discover meaning by creating their narratives with visual tropes and metaphors creatively. And third, I wanted to advocate for the importance of an emic perspective, which did not exist in earlier generations of manga. So it is in this genre where we hear real-life, authentic voices of 当事者, I believe. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your answer again. So now let's turn to chapter 4. I would like invite you to talk about how essay manga convey the author's perspective on several themes, such as mental health issues and the child rearing difficulty, via first person narration, and the teach us the wisdom of life through the hearing power of humor.
Right, another great question. In this chapter, I articulated the genesis of Japan's autobiographical comics called essay manga as an already established genre. And essay manga emerged in the 1970s, became popular in the 1980s and 1990s, and had so-called the Big Bang in the early 2000s, especially with the mega hit manga, My Darling is a Foreigner. So you can say essay mangas are casual readings of serious social issues, such as parenting, divorce, mental health, domestic violence, or what have you. So this genre actually revolutionized comic readership in Japan. And I believe this chapter is of particular interest to comic studies scholars, especially because the genre of essay manga itself has not been well researched beyond Japan. So what's the chapter's relationship to Tōjisha manga, right? Well, the majority of Tōjisha manga titles have come out of this genre, essay manga. So therefore, essay manga's characteristics, such as simply drawn characters and panel layouts, use of self-deprecating humor, and candid and poignant observation of one's own experience, all resonate in the nature of Tōjisha manga. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your answer again and again. So now let's turn to chapter 5. For this chapter, I want to invite you to talk about Okida Baka's Tōjisha manga, Gaki no Tameki.
All right. Thank you for your question, Shu. But before I answer it, please allow me to clarify that structurally, in part two of this book, I provided a semiotic analysis of each of five amazing Tōjisha manga stories. So the analysis part starts with this chapter, chapter 5. And in addition, this book contains 40 drawings from these five manga, which unfortunately we cannot show to the reader. So I hope that those who are interested will see them in the actual book. And now, let me get back to your question. So what is this manga about? Gaki no Tameiki is a 3-volume autobiographical comic series written and illustrated by Okita Baka. And they are published by Kodansha, a major publishing company in Japan, from 2011 to 2013. And the story is about Okita's lived experience of Hatta Shogai. What is Hatta Shogai? Well, I'm going to explain it in a minute. The protagonist, Baka-chan, is a childhood Okita herself in this story. So what is Hatta Shogai? Well, in English, Hatta Shogai is translated as developmental disabilities. But it's not the same as developmental disabilities defined in DSM-5, which includes intellectual disability and language disorder. By the way, DSM stands for Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. So in Japan, Hatta Shogai is a 3-pronged neurological condition that entails Asperger's syndrome, learning disability, and attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, or ADHD. So it's not an intellectual disability. And another difference is that this condition is listed under mental disability in Japan. But to be clear, of course, Hatta Shogai is not a mental illness. it is a neurological disorder. So here is an important point. Socially and culturally, this condition leaves a serious negative impact on the individual who suffers from it, both in school and at work. What are the symptoms of Hatusugai then? Well, for example, the child would rock her chair wildly or keep moving around in the classroom when they are not supposed to. So in Bakka-chan's case, her teachers were unfamiliar with this brain condition and labeled her mondaiji, a problem child. And some of them even physically punished her. And in the, grade three, she developed selective mutism, which is a temporary inability to speak at anxiety triggering event. So Okita's memoir promotes the needs of ASPIs and for creating a culture of neurodiversity in school and at work. So now public schools have this manga available for students to read, and vocational schools for nursing as well as universities of medicine keep this manga series as recommended readings. And Okita herself gives a lecture on Hatusugai at school and on TV too. And interestingly, her incentive to write this manga was Nona Mitsunari Akira-san wa Asperger, which I analyze in the next chapter. Thank you.
Peace. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals, so you can go back to doing what you love this spring. Looking for gourmet meals? Try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. And this is the part I really like. No fuss, no mess meals. Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning. You simply heat and savor the good stuff. Factor is the solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. Head to factormeals.com/NBN50 and use code NBN50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code NBN50 at factormeals.com/NBN50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Thank you so much for your answer again. So now let's turn to chapter six. So for this chapter, I want to invite you to talk about Nanomi Shuna's husband, Akira, has Asperger syndrome.
Yeah, so husband Akira has Asperger's syndrome is the title, and it's a 8-volume autobiographical comic series by Nona Mitsuna, as you said. And it this whole series was published by Cosmic Shuppan from 2011 to 2017. And in this memoir, Nonami appears as wife Tuna, as a narrator and central character of the series. And volumes 1 to 4 are about her husband Akira's adult Asperger syndrome, Otona no Asperger, which is very common in Japan, and how it has affected their marriage and family life. By contrast, volumes 5 to 7 focus primarily on her Cassandra syndrome. In the last chapter, volume 8, is on her reflection of courtship, marriage, and parenthood with Akira and their eventual separation. So as a reader will learn, Tsuna's Cassandra syndrome is quite a debilitating health issue. And this manga was the first graphic memoir about Cassandra. Until it came out in 2011, most people had no idea how mentally and physically demanding this experience was. So what is Cassandra syndrome, right? Well, Cassandra syndrome is a mental health phenomenon experienced primarily by women trapped in a close relationship with an ASPE, a person with Asperger's syndrome. And interestingly, the name Cassandra is derived from Greek mythology, princess of Troy. So the story goes like this. The Olympian deity Apollo gave Cassandra the ability to foresee the future. But when she refused his romantic advances, Apollo was upset and put a curse on her so nobody would take her prophecies seriously. And, you know, as you know, Troy got destroyed because nobody listened to her, right? So that's how the name came out. And typically, wives become distressed by communication difficulties and relationship troubles with their ASPE partners. And then, ironically, they become isolated due to a lack of social support and understanding from those close to them, like family and friends. So they eventually develop psychological problems such as depression and anxiety disorders, like wife Tuna. And Cassandra syndrome does not happen by itself. It only develops in reaction to their partner's Asperger's syndrome. Nor is it limited to domestic partners. It may be experienced by anyone with a close relationship to an ASPE, such as parents, children, siblings, and coworkers. So just to be clear, it doesn't happen to every partner, though. Just there enough to see as a pattern. And this condition is not officially recognized as a disorder in DSM-5 yet. But several books have been written, including the seminal work by the British counselor Maxie Aston. And so Nonami's manga has empowered Cassandra Tojisha by making the knowledge of the syndrome public. And it made a huge difference in the degree of their suffering. And now in Japan, Cassandra self-help groups have sprung up. And to me, this case demonstrates that Tojisha manga has the power to easily disseminate medical information to lay people, the general public. Thank you.
Okay, thank you again for your answer. So now let's turn to the last question today. For the last question, I want to invite you to talk about the remaining three books examined in your research.
Thank you. And my answer is going to be a little bit longer because it includes all three books. So yes, two of the Tojisha books, Tojisha manga I analyzed are on depression. And first, Tanaka Keiichi's Utsunuke is a graphic memoir about his lived experience of utsu, or depression in Japanese. And it begins with his own story, followed by 16 episodes of other Tojisha. And Tanaka himself is a parody manga artist, so he makes great use of humor to lighten up this heavy topic of mental illness. And Utsunuke was published in 2017 in a multicolor digital medium, which is kind of rare. In the title, Utsunuke is a metaphor he invented, meaning coming through the tunnel. And this tunnel is an imagery referring to his being stuck in a dark place with feelings of sadness and a loss of interest in living. And Tanaka himself almost killed himself. Yeah, another visual technique of Tanaka's is a personification of depression. He drew these innocuous, tameable minions named Utsukun. And according to him, such personification was necessary to create a healthy psychological distance from, in his own words, this quote, miserable, excruciating experience, unquote, of depression. And then this manga's target readers are fellow depression todisha, because he wanted to help other people to get through this dark depression tunnel successfully. So Utsunuke became so popular that it was adapted into a television drama series in Japan. And then second one is Depression Memoir by Hosoka Tenten. Tsure ga utsu ni narimashite, or in English, My Significant Other Has Got Depression. And it's a 3-volume series. And Hosokawa is a wife of a depression todisha Tsure. So this one was written for not todisha themselves, but more like for families and especially wives like her of depression todisha. And this manga became an instant hit when the first volume came out in 2006. And right away, it was adapted into a TV drama and later a popular film. One of the visual strategies Hosokawa used is softening the possible impact of this grim topic, depression, through cute and comical drawings. And again, I'm sorry I can't share any of these great drawing samples from her manga, but if you see them in my book, yeah, you will know that how Hosokawa used images such as a turtle bed, depression ear puffs, sadness catching antennas, and a visual metaphor of waves, depression waves. Right? So her cute doll-like characters have healing effect. And I highly recommend this manga, especially if you know anyone who suffers from depression. And the last one is a graphic memoir, Uchi no OCD, which is about obsessive compulsive disorder. The author Shiramizu Sadako is a wife of Ashika, an OCD todisha. And this work is essentially husband-wife collaboration, because the main characters were drawn by Shiramizu, while the background and props are done by Ashika, because he was also an illustrator. And for the plot, she interviewed Ashika and used his visual imagery. So naturally, the story is narrated not only by her, the caregiver, but also by him, the todisha. And one of their great visual strategy is a personification of Ashika's anxiety, which is conceptualized as a monster, fuan monster, anxiety monster in Japanese. So as you know, people with OCD typically experience an uncontrollable sensation, such as fear of contamination or the urge to double check, right? Which can get them into a panic mode. So when that happens, Ashika was usually mortified and couldn't do anything. But fortunately, after the treatment, he gradually became able to ignore this fuan monster, even though he still felt it, it's there, right? So it's the power of treatment. And other interesting visual strategies are also used in this memoir, especially to describe what's going on in Ashika's mind, inside Ashika's mind, something we cannot see from outside, right? So I believe this manga is a great example that todisha manga can make invisible things visible. And so in the end, I would like to summarize. All in all, these 5 titles are just a fraction of many todisha manga, which is a growing genre of autobiographical comics on mental health issues. And its publication has actually intensified during this pandemic. And yet, todisha manga is still an underappreciated, less internationally researched area of Japanese popular culture. So I believe we should pay attention to todisha manga, and especially for these reasons. First, just as one of the disability studies motto goes, nothing about us without us, right? So we must hear, we must listen to Todisha's own voices, because hearing directly from them will help us recognize biases and misunderstandings in the representation of mental disability in media. And second, the first person narratives like Todisha manga is more authentic and relatable than fictional mental health stories in other genres of comics. And Todisha manga not only illuminate, but also humanizes otherwise faceless people's invisible tribulation, such as depression and anxiety disorders. So third, with this book, I really want to promote the awareness of mental disability and help build a public discourse where we can talk about our own or our loved ones' lived experience of mental health issues without fear, without stigma, and without negative repercussion. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much for your talking. I really appreciate that. So at the end, again, I want to talk to our audience, our listeners. So I want to say, as a disability historian, I very appreciate reading Dr. Yoshiko Okuyama's newest book, Todisha Manga. And I want to recommend any of our listeners who's interested, in disability studies, in mental health studies, in comic book studies, and Japanese culture, you may consider buying a copy of Dr. Yoshiko Okuyama's newest book, Todisha Manga. Thank you so much for your listening.
Thank you, Sue.